Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, or your Bibles on your phone, or you can watch the screen as well, John chapter 20, 1 to 18, and just want to talk about the resurrection story and why choose Jesus? Why choose Jesus? So John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, I'm sure you can join along there as well. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" Mary thought he was the gardener, and she said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is a Hebrew word for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, this morning I want to share with you why we should choose Jesus. And of course, the big reason that we should choose Jesus is because of the resurrection which we celebrate today. Jesus is the only one who conquered death and did not die again, but ascended to heaven after appearing to over 500 people, the Bible says, that he was alive. Jesus proved by his resurrection that his words were truth and that he really was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only way to the Father in heaven. Now, sadly, today as a society, we've kind of wandered down that truth that Jesus now, to a lot of people, is just a way instead of the way. In our political correctness, you know, we've reduced Jesus, just to be one of many ways to heaven. You know, there needs to be a change that needs to happen in our society, especially our Western society, where we need to come back to acknowledging this day and acknowledging that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And so as we look at this day and think about the resurrection, it's something that's very important to our faith. And observing this day should cause us all to acknowledge, to honor, and to serve the Lord. You know, we have made the right choice to choose Jesus. And we need to continue with that choice to pursue and prioritize our faith in him. You know, all throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to remind ourselves just how important our faith is. And Christ is. Even the death and resurrection of Christ. We're going to be partaking of communion in a little while. And again, that's exactly what we're doing. We're reminding ourselves of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one else has done that. No one else has done what our Jesus has done. And so when we think of that, our faith should be something that we should take very seriously as we come into this place. You know, we're not just singing songs. We're not just listening to a group or having people sing and lead us in singing or a preacher preach. We need to realize that when we come together as the people of God, we're in the presence of the Almighty God. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're in a place where there's royalty. And that's a wonderful thing as we come into this place today that we are in God's presence. That needs to be something that really sticks with us, that we're coming before the King, the most important person in all of the world. You know, I've been, anyone who likes basketball, we're into March Madness. And there's some pretty great basketball players out there. And, you know, how famous they are and how much money they make. And, you know, all kinds of things. You probably see that on social media, how important these people are. And that's all wonderful and good. It's good to see people that, that succeed in those areas. But as I get thinking about, we come before the King of Kings, the most famous person, the supreme one over every individual from time past to time future, and we get to worship him. We get to know him. We get to love on him, and he gets to love on us. I love the summary that Paul gives of Jesus in the book of Philippians. Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The most famous person in all of history is Jesus Christ. We get to worship him today. We get to celebrate him today. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So our Jesus is worthy of the highest honor. And everything that we do and everything that we say, we need to bow in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let us remember who we are here to worship today. Why do we come to church? I hope you just don't come because, you know, hey, it's a cool church, or we got great music, or you enjoy the speakers. You need to come because this is a place where we gather to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come here in this place, and even on this Sunday, remembering the death and resurrection of Christ, that proves that he was who he said he was. It proves that he really is the Son of God who has come to take away our sins and open up the way to heaven for us. It proves that our faith is true and that we've made the right choice to follow Jesus. And that's what I want to concentrate on this morning, and kind of using the book of John mostly that we encourage you to read this past month to keep the focus again on Jesus. You know, I had a few other sermons that I was kind of thinking, that's what I'm going to preach, and this is what I'm going to touch on. And I just felt the Lord redirect me and getting back to, no, I want you to keep talking about me. Tell them about me. And so as we look at why we should choose Jesus, you know, the book of John gives us some very good reasons of why we should choose Jesus. And that's what I'm going to be sharing mostly from the book of John. I'll use a few other passages of scriptures as well. But just to encourage us, why choose him? There's a lot of reasons why we should. First of all, and why choose Jesus, we should look at the miracles of Jesus that further prove that Jesus was who he said he was. Now, if you take the book of John, you'll come to the first miracle of Jesus in John chapter 2. He turns the water into wine, showing that he has power over the natural. And then as we read that same chapter, we have the little boy that comes before Jesus that is healed. And that was John chapter 4, sorry. And as his father comes and he's asking that, look, my son needs a healing. He needs a miracle. And the son was not with him, but his son was back home. And so Jesus just simply speaks the word and tells that father, go on home, your boy is healed. And as that man goes home, he finds out from his servants that that his son was healed at that exact time that Jesus told him he is healed. And that's a good thing for us to realize, that distance doesn't matter. And if you're watching us online, whether you're on one side of Canada or the other side, or you're from another country altogether, distance doesn't matter. Jesus can touch you there as well as touch us here. He can also touch us for those that are at home today and watching at home. The story in John chapter 5 of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And he was lame for 38 years with no hope of healing. Jesus comes on the scene, and in seconds, the man is healed. John 5, 8, 9 says this: Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. I kind of like that story because he did exactly what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, "Get up, roll up your mat, start walking." It's interesting that as you read the rest of the story, that the Pharisees are there and looking like, "Hey, this is a set. What are you doing, sir? You're out here." "Well, the guy just told me who healed me. He told me to pick up my mat and to start walking. So I'm just doing what he told me to do." "Well, who told you to do that?" "I don't know." And he didn't know. He had to come back to the temple and find out and be introduced to Jesus. Totally supernatural. Jesus heals the sick and the lame. Chapter 6, we have Jesus feeding the 5,000. Well, we didn't feed 5,000 today. And we didn't have just two pieces of fish and five loaves. We had much more than that. But you need to remember, as you talk about this story, and biblical times, they often, when they referred to a crowd, they just referred to the men. They didn't refer to the women and all the children. And so when it says 5,000, there's probably at least 15,000 to 20,000 people there. And the amount doesn't really matter. It's still a miracle. 5,000, 20,000, that you're going to feed them all and everyone's going to have their stomachs filled. That's quite a miracle. And if that wasn't enough, in the same chapter, you see the disciples, they're rowing across the lake, and those guys really didn't have good luck, because it seemed that every time they went to go across that lake, a storm would come up. But what happens? Jesus walks on the water, catches up to them in the midst of the storm. They're very happy to invite Jesus into the boat. And as Jesus got into the boat, instantly, they arrived at their destination. Power over time, power over nature. That's our Jesus. Chapter 9 talks about Jesus healing a blind man. Chapter 11, we see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, showing that he had power over life and death. And as we read Scripture, miracles were a commonplace with Jesus. And it's interesting that as the book of John closes, it says these words of Jesus, John 21, 25. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. See, we only get a glimpse of all the miracles that Jesus really did. He mentions enough in the Word of God for us to realize he is a miracle worker. That's who our God is. And it was very clear that Jesus has power that no one else has. And so his miracles testify that he is who he said he is. Why choose Jesus? He proved himself through the miracles, and he continues to prove himself today through miracles that he's still doing today. Now, secondly, we should choose Jesus as we read of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This miracle was especially important, proving that Jesus had power over life and death. And this here is before the resurrection takes place. Note Jesus' words before Lazarus was even raised, before he even told Lazarus to come out of the grave. Verses 25, 26 of John 11, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And I think we could put this in there. Do we believe that the Lord is asking? Do you believe that this really is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? He is declaring that here in this passage of Scripture. And not only is he declaring it, he's about to show us that he is who he said he was. And again, to prove that statement, Jesus speaks to Lazarus, who was in the grave for 4 days, and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus did, you know, bound in grave clothes and all. And I'm sure that would have really messed with a lot of people right then, seeing a dead man walking and alive. But again, Jesus was proving he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, proving that he had power over life and death. That really should make it obvious to us, you know, who to believe in. If you're looking for an eternity, if you're looking for a heaven, if you're looking that there's life after death, shouldn't you be believing in somebody that has the power over life and death? The Bible tells us that many people began to believe in Jesus after seeing this miracle and hearing about it. So much so that the Pharisees, instead of just wanting to kill Jesus, they thought, well, I think we need to kill Lazarus as well, because many people are coming to faith in Christ because of this miracle. Well, Jesus is the hope of a resurrection from the dead. He is our hope of eternal life. And this is just another story why we should choose Jesus. Thirdly, why we should choose Jesus, the fact that Jesus declares that he is the way. So after proving that he had power over life and death, Jesus went on to speak about eternity, went on to speak about heaven, went on to speak about preparing a place for us in heaven. And of course, Jesus desires that we all would go to heaven. God desires no one to perish, but that everyone would come by repentance through Jesus Christ. And so he makes it quite plain, how do we get there? John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." You know, that's a real powerful statement to make. But just after rising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus wanted to make it really clear that he was the way to heaven, that he is the Son of God sent from heaven to bring salvation and eternal life. You may remember the scripture of John 3:16. A lot of sporting events, you'll see that verse that someone has it on a postcard or something, lifting it up. It says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." And that's the message of the book of John, that Jesus is the way to eternity and heaven. A message echoed to the rest of the Bible. And, you know, you just go to the next book of the Bible, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." And so as you read the Bible, as you read the claims of Christ, it should be easy for us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ truly is the way to heaven. Why choose Jesus? He is the way, the only way to salvation and eternal life. Fourth reason why we should choose Jesus is the crucifixion and the events leading up to that. You know, Jesus was very clear that he was going to be our sacrifice for sin, that he was going to die on a cross. "The wages of sin is death," he said. Sin came through a human being, so sacrifice for sin by a human had to be made. Jesus came as that sacrifice. Way back in John 8, Jesus was speaking of his death on a cross. He said, "When you see the Son of Man lifted up on the cross, then you will understand that I am he." And throughout scriptures, it tells us that Jesus would have to die. And even back in the Old Testament, spoke of Jesus' death in quite the detail, actually, showing us that Jesus really is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. You know, Jesus fulfills so much scripture that it really testifies that, yes, he is the very Son of God. You know, as you read John's gospel, you'll see that it refers to books like Psalms and Zechariah, where it spoke of the Messiah's death, where dice would be thrown for his clothes, where sour wine would be offered to him, where his bones would not be broken, where he'd be pierced on his side. And that's just a few of some of those Old Testament scriptures that talk of what would happen to the Messiah. And here Jesus is fulfilling every one of those. Other gospel writers refer to more prophecies that Jesus would fulfill. And all this was done as well during the Jewish Passover, a holy day where they'd sacrifice a lamb and where its blood would cover their sins. And what does the scripture say about Jesus? John the Baptist said these words. John saw Jesus coming in John 1:29 toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Jesus is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for you and I. He was the perfect, sinless sacrifice. He was the very Passover Lamb of God offered for us to cover all of our sins for all time, where there's no other sacrifice needed. No other Savior did this. No one else ever volunteered their life like Jesus did. Hebrews 10, 8 to 10, some great scriptures that kind of summarize that. It says, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." And then Jesus said, "Look, I've come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. That's what we celebrate in communion, that there's a new covenant that has been made through the blood of Jesus, a covenant that is superior to the old covenant that we see in the Old Testament, that there's a new covenant in the New Testament through the blood of Jesus. And so Jesus loved us enough to go to the cross in our place. He paid the debt of sin, which was death, and opened up that way for us to save us from the wrath, from hell, and to have eternal life in heaven. Why choose Jesus? Why choose him? Why keep serving him? He went to the cross for you and I. He endured crucifixion for you and I. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 tells us to keep our focus on Jesus. It says that he is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. That's why we always need to remind ourselves of the death of our Lord and Savior, what he went through that you and I can be saved today, what he went through that we might be encouraged to say, you know, sometimes life can be cruel, sometimes life can be difficult, but I will still serve the Lord, because Jesus went to the cross for me. So that's something that's important. Our salvation came at a very high price. And that should cause great appreciation to our God. Why choose Jesus? He's the only one who sacrificed himself for us. He's the only one who bore our sins, that all who would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Then lastly, why we should choose Jesus. Think of the resurrection, the crowning achievement of our faith. Without the resurrection of Jesus, our faith would be in vain. It's the biggest proof of who our Jesus is. Apostle Paul, he gives us a summary of this message in 1 Corinthians 15. We're just going to read verse 14 and 15 and verse 20. And it says, "If Christ had not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. And we apostles will all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who have died." The resurrection really did happen. Proven in history. Jesus has risen from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, having power over life and death. He's the only person whose death is marked by an empty tomb. You can look at all the other spiritual leaders of the world. You'll still find their bones still in their grave. You'll still find their resting place, but you won't find Jesus because it's an empty tomb. So this resurrection was witnessed by many people. First witnesses were recorded in John 20, referred to Mary Magdalene, the disciples Peter and John, then the rest of the disciples, 8 days later, the disciples again with Thomas, where Jesus showed them that he was no ghost, because some of them were thinking that maybe it's a ghost that we're seeing. And here we see Jesus in John 20, 27 says, "Put your finger here, look at my hands, put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, believe." And I think that's a big word that needs to go out into our world today. Believe, believe. Jesus is the way. Then in chapter 21, we see Jesus was with the disciples again by the Sea of Galilee, where he confronts Peter about his denial and giving him the opportunity to confess his love to Jesus again. And he says these words, "If you love me, feed my sheep." You know, and Jesus is still speaking those words to us today. Do you love me? If you love me, then you need, there's something you need to do. And he gives us all kinds of commandments in the scriptures. And Jesus tells us, if you love me, then obey me. I'm calling on you to obey. And then as we read as the other passages of the Bible, there's quite a list of people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection, showing that he was very much alive, that he did rise from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 6. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of who, of this writing, were still alive, though some have died. So there's hundreds of people that got to see Jesus alive. We serve a risen Savior, a God who has proven himself over and over and over again. And if we want to put our faith into someone where there's a promise of heaven, where there's a promise of eternal life, it should be obvious to us to place our faith in Jesus, who rose from the dead and conquered death. Why choose Jesus? He conquered death. He rose from the grave. It's an historical fact, proven by hundreds of witnesses, and proven today by all the people that have experienced Christ even today. Your faith is in the right person with Jesus. So as we celebrate this weekend, you know, there's much to celebrate, as the death and resurrection of Jesus really is our centerpiece of our Christian faith. It is real. We have a real Savior, someone that we all should choose to serve and have faith in. He has given us so much proof. It's really undeniable that, yes, we serve a risen Savior. He is the truth, the life, and the way. And so as we come in this resurrection morning, I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments as we get ourselves ready for communion. Let's remind ourselves that our faith is real. The death and resurrection of Christ, especially, are centerpieces of our Christian faith that remind us that this is real. Our faith is real. No one else has done what Jesus has done. So if you've chosen Jesus, you've made the right choice. But maybe you're here today and, you know, you've been thinking about Jesus. You're not sure about Jesus. Well, the fact that you're here obviously shows that you're interested in him. Well, let me tell you something. He's interested in you. And he looks to you to make that profession of faith as well, to say, I choose Jesus. I choose to believe in him today. You know, there's all kinds of little prayers you can pray, and there is no magic prayer. It comes from the heart, and it needs to be from the heart. But you can pray a little prayer, something, you know, like, Jesus, I do believe in you. And I just pray that you would come and make yourself so real to me today. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would help me to live for you from this day forward. But ask him to make himself real to you. Profess, confess, make that statement of faith. Believe, believe, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so that's a great place to start. And so if we've chosen Jesus, let us celebrate him. Let us rejoice in him.